This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Starting again, just making sure we're everything is in sync. The third juz of the Quran. The theme of the third juz of the Quran, that one of the themes that I'd like to highlight for you today. There's multiple themes of a juz or a surah. But the one I like to highlight for you today from the third juz of the Quran, the third sipara of the Quran, is the meaning of true faith. What does true faith mean? And its manifestations, how does it appear? What does it entail? All of these we're going to see very important glimpses of it in this juz today, inshallah ta'ala. What we will see in this juz today, a quick summary, a quick outline of what we will talk about, is a true faith means understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is He? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have the greatest ayah of the Quran, Ayatul Kursi, that will actually allow us to understand Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will also talk about how the meaning of true faith, or you know, iman in its truest sense, means it's not forced upon somebody. We will talk about what this means, inshallah. We'll talk about a very important tenet of iman, which is understanding resurrection after death. And in this part of Surah Baqarah, that's in the third juz, there's three stories that are related to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, back to back to back, that talk about this topic. We'll speak about what it means to spend for the sake of Allah, and how spending for the sake of Allah, giving charity, is one of the truest signs of a person's faith. But there is actually some guidelines for that. It's not just something that's to be done without thought. There are guidelines to it that Surah Al-Baqarah discusses, and it's one of the most beautiful passages of Quran. And don't worry, I'm not doing any fundraising. So these ayat you hear in fundraising dinners and other times, but today we're just going to study them, inshallah. We're going to talk about ethical business practices. A sign of a faithful believer is that he is a faithful businessman, or a faithful employee, or a faithful employer. It's not, these two things go hand in hand. Our life inside the masjid, i.e. our ritual life, has to be in sync with our lives outside the masjid. They have to be in sync. And we will speak about the Quran speaks about the ethical business practices that are expected of the faithful. In fact, the largest ayah, the longest ayah of the Quran is called Ayatul Dain, that talks about business transactions, how to write down loan contracts, how to conduct business, purchasing and selling, how that should be done. All the regulations around it are in this longest ayah of the Quran. And that's a very important part of what it means to be an ethical, faithful Muslim. Also, what we will discuss is the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, which describes the tenets of faith and the fruits of faith. A very important part of understanding what our iman is, not just understanding, you know, what the pillars of iman are, but also, subhanAllah, what it should bring about in us, being a person of iman. And that is what the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah will talk about. And they're fascinating, very beautiful ayat. Then we'll start Ali Imran, roughly around halfway mark of the juz. We have Ali Imran, the third surah of the Quran, the surah that the Prophet ﷺ said, along with Surah Al-Baqarah, that these are, you know, like two zahrawan, like these are two large, you know, like flowers, and they will come on the day of judgment like, you know, these two large clouds, you know, shading the person who would read them and who would live these ayat. So subhanAllah, this is a beautiful surah, and it starts by mentioning Allah's revelations. نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَأَنزَلَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, as a pretext to the idea that there is going to be a lot of discussion about the prophets that are shared between the Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians. And that is where the name of the surah comes, Ali Imran, the family of Imran. Imran is the grandfather of Maryam alayhi salam. He's the father of Maryam alayhi salam, the grandfather of Isa alayhi salam. So he is going to be featured prominently in the story. The family, rather, of Imran is featured prominently in the story. We'll talk about some elements of true faith. Again, we're going to select some verses and not have time to talk about other verses, but we'll talk about preferring the life of the next world. That's a sign of true faith. Like, the priority is to build for the akhirah, while also building in this world and, you know, having sustainability and building not just for ourselves, but for our future generations. But the goal always is the next life, never this life. The idea of submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam. We will speak when Allah says, "Inna deena 'indallahi al-Islam." True faith is following the way of the Prophet sallam, the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Surah Al-Imran will talk about a truly faithful family, the family of Imran, the wife of Imran, the mother of Maryam, then Maryam, then related to that is Zakaria. Zakaria was the brother-in-law, the brother-in-law of Imran. Like, he was the Adil or Hamzulf, you know. They both married into the same family, so they're married to sisters. And then thus he was the uncle of Maryam. Okay, Maryam's khala, Zakaria was married to Maryam's khala. Okay, and I'll explain the family tree a little bit there. You know, in Urdu he would be like the khalu. And then how he also was going through a difficult time in his life, and how Maryam's devotion, her faith, inspired Zakaria. Surah Al-Imran in this third just speaks about interfaith dialogue. One of the most powerful ayat of how we should conduct interfaith dialogue is actually in this surah right here. Now, you know what's funny is I've actually used this ayah in whenever I've had the chance to do interfaith dialogue. My guiding principle has always been this ayah. Always, whenever I'm like in the middle of like questions, and you know, there's a rabbi and there's like a pastor, and I'm like, what do I say here that will really drive home the point of Islam? This is the ayah I always think back to. So I'll share what that ayah is, inshallah, with you. Also talks about, when it comes to interfaith, there's an idea of stereotyping the other. Okay, and this in this juz we'll see a very powerful ayah that speaks about not stereotyping, but we can criticize, we can indulge our you know, each other in criticism. And we believe to be on the right way. We believe our, you know, deen to be the completion of all revelation that Allah has sent before. Okay, so we're not going to apologize for our, you know, for our position. But at the same time, we're not in the business of stereotyping others, and that is something we'll see from this juz. And lastly, true faith. At the very end of this surah, Allah speaks about those who turn their back on faith, probably because of some life incidences, some trauma they experience. True faith is not turning your back, irrespective of how bad stuff gets. So that is some of the things that we'll study. Let us go to, that's a quick, I thought that was quick, but took about 10 minutes to give you an overview of what we're talking about, inshallah ta'ala. All right. My recommendation, by the way, is that when you attend these sessions, my recommendation is that you, after we are done, that you read the Quran, inshallah. Like, you know, that the third juz, like I would say, after we're done, you read it, either just in the Arabic or the Arabic and a little bit of the translation, because that will really allow you, inshallah, to kind of like bring all those points together. You will see them, inshallah, in front of you if you maybe let that if you delay that to a little bit later, I think the benefit might not be as great. Wallahu a'lam. So that's my recommendation. If your time allows you to do so, right after this lesson, read the juz, and if ideally also have the time to read a bit of the translation. The juz, the third juz, begins with this beautiful ayah, which speaks again about understanding Allah. Understanding Allah is part of understanding faith. What is true faith? First, you have to understand who Allah is. It starts by تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Some of these messengers, we have given something additional among them. Meaning, there are messengers that for us, as we will see, all the messengers, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِي. We don't differentiate between them. But the messengers, Allah has made them into ranks. فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Allah is the one who is, raising some and leaving the others at a different place. For example, مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ. There are some who Allah spoke directly, like Musa, and the others who Allah has raised and exalted in ranks, like the five mighty prophets, which is in order of their arrival, Nuh alayhi salam, then Ibrahim, then Musa, then Isa, then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in terms of their rank, in terms of their status, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is number one, because he is the last of the prophets, and he is the chosen one. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then you have Musa, Isa, and Nuh. Those are the ones that Allah says, وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. And he specifically highlights in this ayah, وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. We gave Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary, clear signs and strengthened him with the Holy Spirit. That is Jibreel. وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ. This is all describing that Allah is the one who chooses his messengers. Allah is the one who chooses who is his messenger, where is he going to be, what language is he going to speak, what revelation he's going to receive. This is the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not an exercise that is done by anybody else. It is truly Allah's choice and nobody else's. Understanding Allah means we look at Ayatul Kursi, the greatest ayah in the Quran, which is Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm, lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. The Prophet ﷺ has instructed us that the person who reads this after every obligatory prayer, the only thing that stands between them and paradise is their death. Meaning, once they pass away, that paradise is waiting for them. And also, this is an ayah that we're instructed to read to seek Allah's protection, to seek his protection from whatever is evil. This is a beautiful way of seeking Allah's protection. We are taught to read this before we go to sleep. It's a beautiful way of finishing off your day by reminding yourself of who Allah is, and by being under the shelter of His protection. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, God, there is no deity except Him, the living, the eternal. Al-hayyul qayyum, these two, the combination of these two, is considered to be a description of perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-hayy, the one who is alive, always has been alive, always will be alive. Al-Qayyum, the one who sustains, the one who allows others to be alive, sustains others so they can be alive, and then takes away their life when it's time for them to die. Al-Hayyul Qayyum, that is those two, the combination of these two characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a description of the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. He is unique, one and unique, unlike anything in existence, unlike anything else. How so? He is number one, لا إله إلا هو, the only one worthy of worship. Number two, he is الحي القيوم. We might be alive, but we'll die, right? We might be able to sustain ourselves and sustain others, but that's not an indefinite thing, and the two things together does not happen. Only Allah is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. Number three, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. Neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him. Slumber is where there's a bit of a dozing off, that doesn't happen, and sleep is even further away. That's unique about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. The true kingdom, the true ownership of everything is with Allah. When we all die, everything passes on to the next generation. And when the final generation dies, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِثُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا. Allah says everything that's on the earth will be then left to be inherited by Allah. So truly the owner of everything would be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that whatever we acquire is given to, we acquire by the means that Allah has given us. So in reality, the ownership of it is still with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While we have it, it's like a temporary ownership, a temporary guardianship. In reality, the ownership is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Number five, no one would dare speak to him on the Day of Judgment, speak to him on someone else's behalf. That's five things right here in this ayah that are totally unique about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Number six, his knowledge is complete and perfect. He does not acquire knowledge. We acquire knowledge. We learn stuff. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows everything. His knowledge is perfect and complete. Whatever we learn from Allah's knowledge, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. It is only by his permission. Whatever we acquire of knowledge, whatever we discover, whatever we build upon, that is number seven, only by Allah's permission. And that is something that's unique for him. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Number eight, his kursi extends over the skies and the earth, over the creation. It's translated here as throne. This is actually not an accurate translation. The more accurate translation of kursi is like a footstool. It's the throne of Allah is the arsh of Allah. Okay, the kursi of Allah is something that's smaller. But the smaller thing, the arsh of Allah, is the most majestic creation of all creations of Allah. But the kursi, which is much smaller and much more, much less significant, the foot pedal or the footstool, that is so grand that it itself extends over the heavens and the earth. وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And upholding the skies and the earth does not weary him. Number 9 and number 10, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. He is the sublime, the almighty. Al-Ali al-Azim. Again, this combination is a combination of perfection. Al-Ali, the one who is exalted in rank and in where he is, in presence. Okay? And Al-Azim, the one who is the source of might and the one who has power. So Ayat al-Kursi, and this very, very quick, skim through Ayat al-Kursi, is an amazing description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grandeur, his majesty, and most of all, his uniqueness. And that is why when we, for us, part of our belief is Allah is وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There isn't anyone like Allah. And that is why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, as we will come to in this juz, a human being can't be a god. A human being cannot claim divinity. A human being cannot take the attributes of God. The attributes of God are exclusively for God and God alone. No human being can have that. Neither the Prophet ﷺ nor Isa ﷺ, nobody. It's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is part and parcel of our belief, and very important that we understand that. Okay? Part of true faith, is that it's not forced. La ikraha fi al-deen. Right? The right next ayah after Ayat al-Kursi is, there shall be no compulsion in the religion. Qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghayy. True guidance has become distinct from error. What this ayah is referring to is two things. Number one, that faith, true faith, isn't ever going to come about by compulsion, by force. Okay, there is creating of habits that's required. For example, we have to create these routines for ourselves, for our families, so we can become established in the practice of our faith. You cannot have just like anarchy, no routines, people just do whatever they want, and then hope that they will acquire faith. That's a very difficult, you're setting people up for failure. The idea is you have routines. That is something we put in place. And with our kids, for example, we enforce. But the true faith is born out of conviction that comes over time, or by study, through dua, through experiences, and as a result of those routines that were in place. So that is number one. That's what the ayah is saying. Okay, that true faith comes when a person understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it cannot be born out of compulsion. It just can't be. La ikraha fid din. The second thing that is about this ayah is that it is in its in the books of tafsir, like At-Tabari mentions, that nazalat hadhihi al-ayah fi qawmin min al-ansar aw fi rajulin minhum kana lahum awlad qad hawaduhum aw nasaruhum falamma jaa Allah bil-islam aradu ikrahahum alayhi فَنَهَاهُمُ اللَّهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ حَتَّى يَكُونُهُمْ يَخْتَارُونَ الدُّخُولَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. At-Tabari says this ayah refers to the people of Medina. People of Medina before the Prophet came, some of them had made their kids or had accepted Judaism or Christianity, and had made their kids also Jews and Christians. Okay. But then they accepted Islam. The parents accepted Islam, and they wanted their kids to also accept Islam. So they were trying to force Islam upon their kids. And then this was something that Allah prohibited them through this ayah. So it tells you something very interesting about the reality of faith, is that you can't force someone to become a Muslim. And number two, real faith comes from conviction within, inshallah. And jazakumullah khairan, Dr. Ahmed. But the others, please try to, if you have something to add, please add. Otherwise, try not to, say things in the chat that are not relevant, inshallah. Okay. The third part, understanding resurrection after death. Understanding the idea of al-ba'ath, ba'ad al-maut, coming back to life. There's three examples that Allah mentions back to back to back. Number one is the example of Ibrahim and the man who Ibrahim was arguing with. This was a great king, a king of great kingdom, and his name in the books of tafsir comes as Nimrud. Okay, Ibrahim alayhi salam was explaining to this man, this was a tyrant who was actually trying to kidnap his wife. But then Ibrahim alayhi salam started to give him da'wah, subhanAllah. And he was trying to explain to him that Allah is the one who, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet. Allah is unique. Understand how unique He is. He is the one who gives life and brings death. Okay? This man did not understand this. So he says, well, I can do that as well. And he brought two prisoners. One of them he set free. The other one he killed. And he said, look, I give life to that one. I give death to that one. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam continued to maybe like offer a different explanation. And he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. God brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up yourself from the west. Okay, the sun rises from the east, why don't you make it rise from the west? The idea is Allah is the one who has made this system for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created this beautiful universe for us. And the universe around us tells us about the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made that point. فَبُوهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. The disbeliever was then confounded. Okay, that is one example. That's the first point here. But the thing that here, one of the things that's highlighted here is that Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was explaining who Allah is, he was trying to explain that Allah is the one who gives life and takes life away, and will give us life after, in the next life as well, resurrect us after this life as well. The second example is of a person. أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا. Or of him, when passing by a town, the roofs of which had caved in, explained, how will God restore it to its life after destruction, or restore it to life after its destruction? This is according to the scholars of tafsir, a prophet from Bani Israel by the name of Uzair. And he was looking at, maybe not questioning in the sense of how is it possible, but he was more like saddened by the demise of a city that was a city of faithful. Okay, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to explain to him how resurrection would happen and how over time, you know, cities fall and then cities rise. So Allah, caused him to die for 100 years and brought him back to life, asking him, how long were you, you know, asleep? Or how long have you been around? Kam labitha? Said, I have remained in this state a day or part of the day. Allah replied, no, you have been in this state for 100 years. Now look at your food and your drink. They have not gotten bad. They have not rotten. And look at your, this is talking about himar, which is a donkey. All right. We will make you a sign to mankind. Look at the bones, how we set them together and then clothe them with flesh. Look at how this donkey of yours, your riding animal, had died and basically decomposed. Now watch as we bring it back to life. Watch as how we put the bones together and how we clothe those bones with flesh, and now this donkey is alive. It's a miracle that Allah showed to this prophet to show him how resurrection after life, or excuse me, resurrection after death will happen. Also to show him and to show us that, you know, in life, you know, there's like a, this is referring to about Jerusalem, by the way. Qaryatin is referring to Jerusalem according to the majority of historians. Jerusalem was a city of the righteous, of the faithful for millennia. But then tyrants destroyed it and completely like annihilated it. Okay, and then over time, it was back and flourishing and reestablished and repopulated by the faithful again. Right, that's the nature of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out both things. Resurrection after life, like it's in its true meaning. And also, like, sometimes the faithful lose power. They lose strength. They even are annihilated. But they're resurrected, or their cause is resurrected not too long afterwards. And that is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things. And subhanAllah, history is the evidence of that. The third story is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Again, featured prominently in Surah Baqarah. He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a very interesting request. He says to Allah, oh my Lord, show me how you revive the dead. كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى Ibrahim alayhi salam, to make sure that we don't misunderstand his question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ Do you not believe? قَالَ بَلَى He said, yes, indeed I do believe. 100%. There is no doubt that Ibrahim alayhi salam believed and had no sort of shak, any type of doubt in him. But وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي To reassure my heart. Just to reassure my heart. This tells us that it's okay for us to look for explanations, or okay for us to look for reassurances when it comes to the practice of our faith. This is something that all of us need. The Quran provides that for us. The example of the Prophet provides that to us. The example of our of great people in our history provides that for us. Whatever, there are many, many means of finding reassurance in faith. And this is a very important point, right? Understanding resurrection after death is also gives us assurance that this is indeed the true faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Ibrahim, take 4 birds and train them to come back to you. Meaning that if you, train the birds and you call them, the bird will come fly to you. Okay? Then place them separately on each hilltop, فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ جَعَلْ عَلَى كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِّنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا Then, sacrifice these birds and mix up the meat of each bird. Okay? And then place on top, of a hilltop, a bunch of this meat. Okay? So now the meat of these different birds is mixed up. ثُمَّ دُعُوهُنَّ Now again, call these birds back. These birds are now dead. In fact, they're dead and their meat is now all mushed together with the meat of the other birds. But as Ibrahim Asam did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought those birds back to life as a miracle, and they all came flying to him. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Know that God is almighty and wise. Again, the example, this is a miraculous example, miraculous incident for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Miracle being something that doesn't happen to other than a prophet. Something that breaks the laws of nature. This is not normal. This is given to a prophet only. And we are told of it as an example. And the example highlights two things. Number one, just like a bird, like just like this mixture of meat would not be a detriment for Allah to bring the bird back into its original form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not hampered by the fact that this bird and its meat is mixed with another bird's meat, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created these birds, and He knows which DNA is for which bird. And when He wants to resurrect, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُودَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. He says, be, and it is. So when He wants to resurrect, it comes back like this and is recreated. And that's for us an example that's how we will be recreated too after our death on the Day of Judgment, brought back in flesh and soul. Just as quickly as we were made, instantly we will be brought back to life. The second thing that we learn from this is, of course, seeking out assurances is not a problem. Seeking out assurances is very much encouraged. What's not encouraged is letting things linger that bother you about the practice of our faith, because that can then become like a ticking time bomb. Okay? Whereas seeking assurances now and seeking understanding now is going to be, that's the right course of action. And there is countless examples of countless like incidents of, you know, Sahaba and others seeking reassurances, asking again and again, because they wanted to understand. And until finally they got it, finally the explanation made sense to them, that's when their faith was now, the commitment and devotion to it was magnified and was increased. Now, the next thing that's mentioned here is spending for the sake of Allah. That is a sign of true faith. The Prophet said that as-sadaqatu burhan, giving charity, is a burning sign of proof. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a beautiful aspect of our faith. A true sign of a believer is that they are able to give money for the sake of helping somebody else. Give money, usually we would give money, in return we get something back, either a product or a service. But when you give money for the sake of helping someone, or a charity, or for the cause of Allah, you don't get anything back immediately. Okay? You don't. The tax receipt is not necessarily something you, it's something for your taxes later on. But you don't get any material object back, or anything that will fit, you know, that you have purchased. That is a difficult thing to do. That's a hard thing to do, to give money without receiving something back. And that is done. When someone is able to do that, that is a sign of true faith. And understanding that my money is actually the money of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am just in charge of it temporarily. This has been given to me by Allah. I am its guardian temporarily. So when I spend it in the cause of Allah, I'm really spending it, in the place where it's supposed to be spent. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. Those who spend their wealth for God's cause may be compared to a grain of corn which sprouts into 7 ears and with 100 grains in each ear. Meaning, one grain of corn that's planted is going to yield 700 years. Okay, or 700, grains. One grain will yield 700 grains. That's, an example to show. That's what happens when we give sadaqah. If you give $1, its effect is multiplied so drastically down the road that it is like $700 in reward. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He grants manifold increase to whom he wills. He is infinite and all-knowing. Wasi'un alim. Meaning, don't ever think that your charity is meaningless, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it. What matters is how sincere a person is. What matters is how pure their intention was when they're giving it. Okay? What matters is, did they make sure that their charity was done to help someone, not to curry some favor down the road? La tubtilu صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. Believers, do not cancel out your charitable deeds with reminders and hurtful words. Okay? Charity cannot be done as a favor. Okay? So that down the road you get something out of it. It can't be done to create leverage. That's not true charity. That could be like a person parting with their money. Okay? People make charitable donations to political causes all the time. Okay? But quite frequently, if not almost entirely, that is done to build leverage, create leverage. Charity in its true form in Islam is meant to be to help the one who needs help. And the mindset of the one who's giving charity is, I am helping myself here. I am the one who is the recipient of the goodness. Even though this person got the money and their needs will be fulfilled, but the one who got helped is me, because my akhirah is now being built. That is the mindset. Can't be done to create a favor, can't be done to create leverage, can't be done so that you can remind people, hey, remember I gave you charity and now you do this for me? Can't be done. The one who does that, لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ, has cancelled out the good of their charity. In fact, Allah says, if you can't give anything, what's better is you say something kind and be forgiving in your attitude. That's better than someone giving money and then talking endlessly about it, or trying to use that to create leverage down the road. It can't be that. Much better than that is you just hold on to your money and say something good. Because Wallahu ghaniyun halim, Allah is self-sufficient. He actually does not need our money. This is the key point of this passage. Allah doesn't need our money. We need the money that we spend in the way of Allah. That's what that's the reality of the matter. Charity cannot be a PR stunt. Okay, charity. After this, there's a couple of examples of how people are using, like they give charity for the sake of public relations, like, you know, just to show this is what I'm doing and this is what, you know, this is who I am, right? But charity is to be done for the sake purely of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example Allah gives here is, you know, the one who is like an old man, okay? And his garden is like struck by a fiery whirlwind and is utterly scorched. Is there anything left for this person? Can this person ever rebuild their garden again? They can't. That's the example of the one who gives charity for the sake of PR, right? Right now you have money, but eventually that money, that charity would mean nothing in the eyes of Allah. And there's no way for you to build that up again. So it is to be done for the sake of pleasing Allah, for the sake of helping those in need, for the sake of helping the one who's donating, the donor. This is my salvation. This is me building my akhirah, not for publicity. Allah mentions a very important principle of charity, that Satan threatens you with the prospect of poverty and commands you to do foul deeds. الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِيدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَةِ. Satan is saying, you give charity, your wealth will decrease. اللَّهُ يَعِيدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. But what Allah says is that He is promising forgiveness. You give charity, Allah will forgive your sins. And Allah is promising more. فضل is what's remaining, like it's more than what you need. So Allah is promising He'll take care of you and will give you more than what you need. I.e. you will have luxury and excess. That's what Allah is promising you. And that is from wisdom. يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is something, the one who understands that truly is a wise person. And that's a sign of understanding. That's a true sign of faith. Understanding this idea. Charity is best to be done secretly. Right? If you do give charity, If you keep it secret and give to the needy in private, that is better for you. When تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. No problem if you were to give it openly to inspire others. That's actually a good thing as well. But don't let it ruin your ego. Or don't let it corrupt your ego. Because it's very easy. Our egos, our souls are easily corruptible. Don't let charity be the thing that corrupts it. So it's best to do it in secret, in private. And the one who you help in secret and private, the dua of that person will change your life. I guarantee you that. When you help someone who is truly in need and you do it secretively, no one found out about it, only they know and only you know, their dua will transform your life because it will be the most heartfelt, most meaningful dua that they will make. And that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to, you know, attain from our charity as well. Ethical business practices. After this passage, Allah speaks about ya alladhina ya'kuluna riba, which is interest. Basically, interest on debt, on debt contracts. Debt contracts in Islam are meant to be done without any interest, without any gains. Business transactions and partnerships is where there is profit and loss. Okay, but debt contracts are meant to be just, you know, exact, like amount in is the same as amount out. The amount given is the same amount received. So this is something that the Quran warns very, 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 very strictly against, because what it does is that it makes the powerful more privileged and generally the powerless, you know, more underprivileged. The system it creates, not the anomalies. You have the anomalies, you have people who go through the system while paying interest, while being in debt, and come out fine on the other way, on the other side. But the system that it creates is a system where the powerful and the rich are privileged, and the one who needs money is underprivileged. And that's not a system that's healthy. And subhanAllah, we see the signs of discontent in this matter, especially in these days, at the disparity of wealth, how much the ultra wealthy are wealthy and how poor the ultra poor are. That disparity never really existed in the history of humanity, and that's a byproduct of a system that's whose economic engine is interest. We can go on this forever. This is a favorite topic of mine. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly warns about this and says, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى. Believe what it is due to you of usury if you are true believers. And if you don't do so, then know that you are at war with God and His Messenger. But if you repent, you may retain your capital. Do not wrong others. لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. This is a principle. Don't wrong others. And you won't also be wronged. You won't be wronged either. This ayah number 281, according to the scholars of tafsir, is the last ayah revealed to the Prophet ﷺ before he passed away, which is وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear the day when you will shall be made to return to God. Then every soul shall be paid in full what it has earned, and they shall not be wronged. Subhanallah. Like the business transactions we make, the stuff that happens in life, it makes us forget about the big picture. The big picture is, remember the day when we stand in front of Allah. That is true understanding. That is the understanding of what true faith means. Ayat al-Dain, ayah number 282, the ayah of loan transactions or debt transactions is here. The longest ayah in Quran, as you can see, is very long, mashallah. This is where when Taraweeh used to happen. This is where all the Huffaz would get like stuck. And mashallah, may Allah help them not getting stuck. But this is an ayah that's so beautiful. It talks about clarity. Clarity in business transactions. Be clear. Faktubuhu, write it down. Okay? You can't write it, have a scribe write it down. With fairness. Okay? Don't create an oppressive system where the powerful can force the scribe to write something wrong or force the witnesses to provide false testimony. Don't do that. وَلَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَهِيدٌ let no harm done be either to the scribe or the witness. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps trying to remind us that the powerful must be kept in check because they will abuse their power and trample over the powerless. وَلَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَهِيدٌ وَإِن تَفَعَلُوا فَإِنَّهُ فُسُوقٌ بِكُمْ. If you do that, it will be a crime on your part. Okay? وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Be mindful of God. He teaches you. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. This is our religion. The true understanding, the understanding of true faith is that in all aspects of our lives, in the way we practice our prayers, the way we fast, the way we do hajj, the way we live as a family, marry, divorce, the way we do business, all of those, the guiding principles, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Understand that Allah is watching. Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And that is a beautiful, the ethical business practices. One of the scholars was asked, hey, why don't you write a book about akhlaq? He said, I did write a book about akhlaq. The people asked him, what's the book that you wrote about akhlaq? He said, it's called Kitabul Buyur. It is the book of transactions, of business transactions. Meaning, the one who is able to ethically live as a businessman and practice as a ethically as an employee or as an employer, right? That's a man or a woman of akhlaq. That's a man of understanding. So subhanAllah, very, very important idea of what true faith is. After this are the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, like according to the Prophet sallam. This is an ayah that was, there was a door in the sky open that never opened before. And an angel came down that had never come down before. And that angel told the Prophet ﷺ that you have two special gifts from Allah. بِنُورَيْنِ أُتِيتَهُمَا لَمْ يُؤْتَهُمَا نَبِيٌّ قَبْلَكَ. Number one, two special lights. No prophet before you has ever received. Number one, Surah Al-Fatiha. Number two, the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. And the Prophet himself said, whoever recites the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, كَفَتَاهُ, they will take care of him. That's all he needs. What are the two ayat? آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The messenger believes in what has been sent down to him from his Lord, and so do the believers. All of them believe. كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. These are the tenets of our faith. These are the pillars of our pillars of Iman. The point of this juz, or the thing that I'm trying to highlight to you today is, what is true faith? These are the pillars of faith. Believing in Allah, His angels, the revelation He sent before, the messengers that He sent before. They say, لا نفرق بين أحد من رسلي. We do not differentiate between any of His messengers. That is our aqeedah. That's what we believe. All messengers were from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All scriptures were originally from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We accept and believe them. We hold the prophets to be our role models. This last ayah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. God does not charge a soul with more than it can bear. The fruit of Iman is understanding life will never get too hard. It's going to be hard. Tests will come. Well, it will never be impossible. It will never be unbearable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said this. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. The religion will never become unbearable. If things are getting too hard in the faith, there are exceptions. There's like a release valve for the pressure that's built in the religion at all costs. If a person is sick, they can skip fasting. If a person is, tired because they're traveling, they can shorten their prayer and make up the fast later. If a woman is pregnant and she's feeling, very difficult time fasting, exemptions are made. Exemptions are made throughout the religion, because لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. If you cannot be certain whether your clothes are clean or not, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. You only do as much as you can. The rest you are not responsible for. Try your best to keep yourself clean. If some splashes of impure materials are on your clothes, you can't control that. You can't change that. Don't worry about it. the religion does not overburden and overpower us. Life will never overburden and overpower us. That is an understanding of true faith. And dua is a fruit of the faith. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَانَا. Our Lord, do not take us to task if we forget or make a mistake. Our Lord, do not place on us a burden like the one you placed on those before. رَبَّنَا لَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Our Lord, do not place upon us a burden that we do not have the strength to bear. وَاعْفُ عَنَّا. Pardon us. وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا. Forgive us. وَارْحَمْنَا. Have mercy on us. أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا. You are our Lord and Sustainer. فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Help us against those who deny the truth. Beautiful dua. I encourage you to make it. The next surah is Surah Ali Imran. Ali Imran begins with the same statement that Ayat al-Kursi began with. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. There is no deity save him, the living, the sustainer, the two glorious names of Allah. But then he mentions his revelations. Nazzala alayka al-kitab. The book, okay, which is the Quran. It fulfills, it's the truth. And it fulfills the predictions that are in At-Tawrah wal-Injil, that are in the scriptures that came before. The Quran is a verification of those scriptures. The Quran is coming to tell us what those scriptures lost that originally they had. وَأَنزَلَ الْفُرْقَانِ. The Quran is Al-Furqan, the standard by which to discern the true from the false. This is a very beautiful intro to the surah because, as I mentioned before, the surah is going to talk about other faiths, especially the Jews and the Christians, those who we share the tradition with, the Abrahamic tradition with. This surah is going to talk a lot about them. Let me go to that passage. Okay, this surah Al-Imran is a beautiful surah. It actually talks about things that are very very beautiful in the world, very attractive. The desires of the world are easy, are accessible. But what's better than the desires of this world and the pleasures of this world is جَنَّةٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, is the gardens in nearness to their Lord with rivers flowing through them. Meaning, true faith is preferring the life of the next world. That's what true faith is. Preferring the akhirah, not the dunya. We build in the dunya, of course, but we prefer the akhirah. Okay? True faith is inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam. Ayah number 19. True religion in Allah's sight is complete submission to Allah, and that is al-Islam. That is what the Islam means. Submission without compromise. Mistakes are to be expected. It's impossible not to make mistakes. That's why we have the idea of repentance, making up for our mistakes, saying sorry, giving reparations, asking Allah for forgiveness. But commitment without compromise is the attitude, and that is what Islam is. Inna ad-deena 'indallahi al-Islam. True faith is following the Sunnah, like the Prophet ﷺ is told here. Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni. If you love God, follow me, and God will love you and forgive you your sins. God is the most forgiving and the most merciful. Obey Allah and the Messenger. This is not like the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just someone who was sent and he lived in a time and that was it. He is a role model for us at all times, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his way is the way to salvation. Now the surah turns to the family of Imran. Okay. And Allah musta'an, my time is almost up, but I'll try my best to give you a bit of a summary, inshallah, of this. Okay. The family of Imran starts here. Inna Allah astafa Adama wa Nuhan wa ala Ibrahim wa ala Imran ala al-alamin. God chose Adam and Noah and the family of Abraham and the family of Imran above all his creatures. ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. The offspring of one another, and God hears all and knows all. This is إذ قالت امرأة عمران ربي إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني. Remember when the wife of Imran said, My Lord, I have dedicated what is in my womb entirely to your service. So accept this from me. You are the one who hears and knows all. But then when she gave birth, she thought she was giving birth to a boy who will become dedicated to the worship of Allah. But then she found out, إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى I have given birth to a girl. And God knew very well what she had given birth to. A male is not like a female. This female is going to be very special. إِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ I have named her Mary. And have placed her and her children in your protection from the rejected Satan. Okay? This is a very beautiful intro to the family of Imran. These were faithful people. They wanted to devote their lives to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They wanted to worship Allah. Imran is married to this lady here, Imra'atu Imran, which is in the books of Imran and Zakaria. They're married to sisters, and neither of them had kids. Neither of them had kids. Then finally, Imran's wife is pregnant, and she gives birth to Maryam, even though they were expecting a boy. They wanted their children to become monks who worship Allah without any commitments to the world. And that's how, you know, in the Christian tradition has these idea of a monastery, a person who's dedicated only to the worship of Allah and not to the world in any way. And usually those were men. So when Maryam was born, this was like a surprising thing. How can a girl be in a monastery? But she was someone who was so incredible and so special that Allah says her Lord graciously accepted her and made her grow in goodness and entrusted her to the care of Zachariah, her khalu, basically the husband of her khala. And every time Zachariah visited her in her chamber, he found that she had rizq. She had provisions. She had food. And he would ask, who brought you this food? Because she wasn't working. Remember, she's dedicated to the worship of Allah. She's not even going out to purchasing anything. A monk would stay in their monastery. So this was shocking to Zechariah. He's like, how come you're getting, where's this food coming from? And she said, huwa min indillah. It is from Allah. Inna Allaha yarzuqu man yasha'u bi ghayri hisab. You see the incredible faith of our Maryam alayhi salam, that she's telling him, this is a miracle from Allah. Allah has provided for me. And Allah provides for whoever he wants. That's when Zakaria realized, it came to his mind. هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّ رَبَّهُ He said, my Lord, grant me by your own grace, virtuous offspring. You are the hearer of all prayers. Oh Allah, if you can give Maryam food and fruit miraculously, you can also give me a child miraculously. Because he was too old. He was actually a point where natural birth would be impossible. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously gave him his son. فَنَادَتُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّ فِي الْمِحْرَابِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَى Allah is giving you the good news of John, who shall confirm the word from God and shall be outstanding among men and utterly chaste and a prophet from among the righteous. What we'll do is, inshallah, we'll stop here and we'll pick up the story of Ali Imran tomorrow and finish it bi-idhnillahi ta'ala as well. My apologies for going a little bit over time, and we spent a little bit more time in the beginning of the juz, especially because Ayatul Kursi was there and all these other beautiful surahs were there. But inshallah, from tomorrow, we will pick up from the story of the family of Imran, because I really don't want to shortchange their amazing story and the lessons from there. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan. I will see you all inshallah ta'ala tomorrow, same time, same place. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. No, yeah.